On the Hughes Ranch, we have wild horses. And this comes through, I guess, the land management office. Is that true?
Yes, we have pastured unadopted wild horses for the Bureau of Land Management. This is the 20th year that we've had that program. And, you know, to us, it's another way to market our product, which is grass. And they were, back in 1972, Congress passed the Wild Horse and Burro Act. Before that, overpopulation really hadn't been a problem with wild horses because they were kind of, open to hunting by, they called them Mustangers, and they would capture wild horses. In fact, one of Clark Gable's last movies, I think, was he was a Mustanger. And I think, I can't remember whether, I know Marilyn Monroe was in it, and I think maybe Montgomery Clift. But anyway, it was about capturing wild horses. And ranchers, adventurers, and so forth, they captured wild horses and sold them. A lot of them did end up being made into dog food. And an activist named Velma Johnson, they called her Wild Horse Annie. I never could figure out how they got the Annie out of Velma. But nevertheless, she became concerned when they started using helicopters and fixed-wing airplanes to aid in the gathering of the wild horses, that they might eradicate them. And so she circulated petitions in schools all over the country, and she presented Congress with hundreds of thousands of school children's signatures and a proposed bill called the Wild Horse and Burro Act that protected the wild horse. And Congress passed it without a dissenting vote, which is extremely unusual for Congress to pass anything unanimously. And so from that day forward, a problem population-wise developed on the western lands that are managed by the BLM, or Bureau of Land Management. For instance, in Nevada, that's almost 90% federally owned, there are private lands checkerboarded in among the public lands. So the government, the Bureau, does have a responsibility because that land is not fenced separately, and they need to keep the resource, which is grass, even though it's a lot sparser than it is where we are. It's the same type situation. You have to take care of your grass. So anyway, they came up with the Adopt a Horse program, and they're able to adopt a number of young horses that are easy to train and so forth. But for the older, what they consider unadoptable horses, they really don't have any place to go with them. So that's where we came in. And they advertised for bids for a long-term holding facility, and we were successful in getting a long-term contract. And we bid it in 1988. They sent us our first horses in 1989. So for the past 20 years, we've been in addition to our cattle operation, which we never co-mingle in the same pastures, cattle and horses. But in addition to our livestock, our cattle operation, we also have pastured wild horses. We originally had one contract. Then they needed more capacity, and they let another contract. And now, in addition to our two contracts, there are a number of others. Oh, gosh, there's 10 or 12. Most of them are located within 100 miles right here. However, this past year they let one new contract in South Dakota. So there's at least one that isn't in our area.
How many wild horses do you have now on the Hughes Ranch?
On our home ranch, we have approximately 1,500 horses. That's what our capacity is. Totally, we pasture about 4,350 horses.
What's the difference between the wild horse and a domesticated horse?
Well, the wild horse, of course, evolved over centuries of horses being in the wild, and genetically there truly are some remarkable differences between a wild horse and a domestic horse. Two of the most outstanding differences are the thickness of the hoof wall. If you look at the feet of a wild horse, the hoof wall is about four times on average as thick as a domestic horse. And the reason for that is that if a horse in the wild, if the hoof broke back into the quick, they simply couldn't go from where the resource, the grass, was and get to water. So the mare, if she had a colt, she probably didn't rebreed because she wasn't doing well enough, or she actually starved to death, or the stud actually that broke back into the quick, he wasn't able to keep up with the herd, and he perished. So over the many, many, many years, any horse that was prone to have hoof problems simply vanished out of the genetic pool. The other dramatic difference is the thickness of the hide, and our old friend the screwworm fly comes back into play, because any horse that was wounded in any way, and a screwworm fly laid its eggs, they were going to eventually perish because there was nobody there to doctor the screwworms and kill them. So the horse ended up dying. So the hide thickness on a wild horse is so thick that, for instance, a horsefly can't even bite. The way a horsefly gets blood out of the animal, they actually have a little built-in knife, and they slice the hide, and the blood comes up by capillary action, and it's soaked up by a little sponge that they have and then ingested. Well, they can't cut through the hide, so they just don't even try. So unlike our domestic horses that are plagued with horsefly problems in the summertime, the wild horses don't have that. Then in addition, they are just virtually immune to all types of disease and ailments and so forth. For instance, colic is a big killer in domestic horses, and it's just unheard of in a wild horse. So just through the survival of the fittest type genetic selection, they are an extremely hardy breed.
Can you compare them intellectually?
Well, their mindset is so different. For instance, if you leave a gate open to your horse trap, every rancher knows that their saddle horses, their ranch horses, are going to be out. As a matter of fact, even if you don't leave it open, they may figure out a way, if the latch isn't foolproof, to open the gate and get out. Well, after wild horses are located in a pasture, if you leave the gate open, it's going to be quite a long time before they'll venture out. Once they get located in an area, and of course our pastures are pretty big, pretty good size, but they don't want to leave there. Another interesting thing, if you're trying to gather cattle, for instance, or even domestic horses, they may go to the brush and hide from you if there's some cover in the pasture. Wild horses will go to the highest place in the pasture where they can see in every direction. and that's where they'll go to. So their mindset is and their habits are very, very different than a domestic horse.
Then as you care for them, the government says, we don't want you doing much with them. You feed them, water them, and if they become sick, nature takes its course.
Right. We're to have a free-roaming environment for the horse. We do supplement them for approximately 160 days, which is our dormant native grass season. And we use alfalfa hay for a protein supplement. And we normally feed the horses on a three-day-a-week basis. In other words, we'll feed alfalfa hay to the horses either Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, or Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, some on one schedule and some on another, so that we can utilize the same manpower and equipment for more horses.
You have to teach them and train them, the wild horses, when they come in to come to a feeding area.
Yeah, we first, what we call fence break the horses. When they first come in from mostly Nevada, we keep them up in a 6-foot-high corral for several weeks until we get them acclimated and used to the feed truck. And we'll feed alfalfa to them in that large pen from the back of a feed truck and get them to associate the siren that we use to call them in to feed with getting fed and alfalfa hay. And then we'll turn them out in a 10-acre transition area, that smooth wire fence, and we'll flag that fence with strips of white plastic that blow in the wind, and it lets them know where the fence is and gets them used to being enclosed in a wire fence. And we'll keep them in that transition area for several weeks and then move them on to one of the large pastures where they'll basically stay some for the rest of their life, for years.